Okay, we're dealing back on the problem on Rashi. This Havamele Gemara, name of Hakshar Sukkah Kamafiki. What does that have anything to do with Hakshar Sukkah? Why should sale be based upon your share of Hakshar Sukkah? I mean, sale is sale. Hakshar Sukkah is Hakshar Sukkah. What does one have to do with another? So, okay, it's a rough problem. And the Rashi, the difficulty in Rashi, Time Achrina, I mean, the whole thing is difficult. But I'm just going to try something. Okay? Try an idea. Okay? We'll see. Maybe Rashi means it, maybe it doesn't. Okay. I was saying like this. It could be that the Gemara is suggesting perhaps everyone holds that really you need tzel. Okay, sukkah needs tzel. Schach must be functioning for tzel. Okay, but there will always be a little bit of tzel. Okay, there will always be a little bit of tzel. Because if it's, there's sun, it's outside, and by the fact that you put up a roof, it's going to block out a little bit, it's going to block out some tzel. Okay, there's always going to be a minimum amount of tzel. Okay? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't know what I mean.
Do you mean on the ground, like
yeah,
on the walls?
From ambient light and all that stuff. Whatever. There's always going to be. Yeah, exactly. The schach is going to make a difference. Schach is always going to make a difference. The only schach isn't going to make a difference. It's outside. Obviously, it gets sunny outside. So, it's going to be more or less or all that. Fine, more or less. But bottom line is, there's always going to be some amount of shade. So, schach always provides tzel. Now, you're telling me there's a halach of a sukkah tiel tzel. Schach has to provide tzel, but it always provides tzel. Okay. So how does this halacha of a sukkah teal itself become incorporated into the halachic institution of sukkah when, if you really look at it, you'll always have some tzel? Okay. So it could be the way it becomes incorporated is that the fact that there's tzel has to, so to speak, be recognized halachically, okay? And the way it does it, the way it sets itself up is that the sukkah, which is the worst in terms of tzel, okay? The sukkah, so to speak, which has the least amount of tzel, is pasul, okay? Sukkah, for instance, which is the least amount of tzel, is pasul. And therefore, when you have the sukkah, which is the least amount of tzel, which is pasul, then any other sukkah is only kosher because you're saying it's better, it's a better tzel provider than that pasul sukkah. I mean, so the fact that a sukkah has to be a tzel provider is manifested in the halachic structure. Okay? Let me explain. Okay, then I'm just painting a picture a little bit. Okay, but let me explain. In other words, like this. Let's say you hold Zion al Zion as the minimum shiur sukkah. Okay? Zion is minimum shiur sukkah. So the minimum, that's the small sukkah you can have. 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Now 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, 20 amos high. Will there be tzel? Yeah, some. Tiny bit. 7 by 7, right? And even above, a tiny bit of tzel. But, the thing is like this, is that if you'd kasher every sukkah by saying there's a tiny bit, then the halachic system of sukkah wouldn't reflect this idea of tzel. I mean, yeah, there's always some tzel, but how is that manifest halachically that is a significant component, because it's always going to be a tiny bit of tzel. So what the halacha did, the way it did it is that a sukkah katana, okay, namely what's sukkah katana according to the Shita, 7x7, 7x7, a sukkah katana, which is the height high, which is 20 amos. Now there are two factors in tzel. There's the smallness of the sukkah. Right, the dimensions, the length and the width, and then there's how tall. Okay, the smaller you make it, the more you're diminishing the tzel. The higher you make it, the more you're diminishing the tzel. Factually, that's the case. Right, there you go. Higher, the sun is further from the tzel. Smaller, you're decreasing the area for which the sun is going to hit. So therefore, when the sukkah, the length and width is the smallest possible shear, namely Zion al Zion, and when the height is very high, 20 amos. I don't know how they get 20 amos, but 20 amos. Okay? So then, even though there is a tiny bit of tzel, but that's possible. Okay? When it's a sukkah katana, which is l'mayel me'asrim, is psula. Okay? Why? Because that is, so to speak, objectively, they had to objectify the idea of too little tzel. You know what I mean? In other words, the way the idea of the demand for tzel became expressed in the halachic system is that it has to be more tzel than the minimum, so to speak. I mean, it has to be, there's a psal. It's a psal on the worst sukkah in terms of tzel. And therefore, any sukkah which is kosher is only kosher because it reflects, oh, it's bigger than, it's a better metzal, it's a better tzel provider than the minimum sukkah. So therefore, the halachic system of sukkah reflects the idea of tzel. So even though every single sukkah in practice will have a tiny bit of tzel, but the halachic system reflects the demand that tzel is a necessity by knocking out, all it needs to do is knock out the minimum, the worst tzel provider. So therefore, it's going to come down to what is the worst tzel, what is the sukkah katana? Because if you hold the minimum shear sukkah is 4x4, if you hold the minimum sukkah is 4x4, so then you can't tell me 7x7 is puzzle. 7x7 is puzzle anyways. So where, how are you going to reflect the halacha? I think Rashi has a thing like that. How are you going to reflect the halacha that you need tzel? Right? You can say, so that's be apostle, the 4x4 sukkah, which is a l'mayla ma'asrim. So that's going to be the case. Once it's bigger than the minimum sukkah, okay, then since it's bigger, it reflects the idea you could sell sukkah. It means, of course, there's always sale, but it reflects the demand for its sale because the amount is more than, so to speak, the minimum quantity, the minimum possible quantity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're saying there's like a certain quality, it's like a minimum.
An attempt at what his time achrina is. Okay? A similar type of a move. Okay? But maybe you could argue that really, so to speak, it's somewhat the opposite idea. Okay? That sale, to have a sukkah provide sale, it demands, like, so to speak, very specific conditions. Yeah, no, so really, maybe like this, really it's sale. The problem with the Gemara's have sale. This suggestion is that there's a problem with this halacha of sale. You tell me it has to provide sale, right? But how do you halachify that, so to speak? In other words, where in the categories of sukkah, like where are you going to draw the line? Like let's say it turns out that the line is that it's a whole complicated ratio, right, which we see. I mean, when sale is going to be and when sale isn't going to be is like a very, it's all mathematical formula to really figure that out, right? So perhaps the Gemara is suggesting that everyone knows you can't have halacha like that. You can't have halacha where you're gonna have to start taking out your ruler and your compass or whatever, figuring out the exact angle of the sun at what time of day. I mean, it's very complicated. That's not the way halacha works. You can't have a shulchan aruch like that. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to have maybe take trigonometry and then you can figure it out.
So the Gemara is, not every Ben Torah has a degree in a PhD in mathematics, right?
Right. So therefore it could be that the psal, how does the halacha of tzel express itself, right? I mean, there are in fact going to be sukkahs which don't have tzel. I mean, it's going to turn out there are going to be sukkahs, but how do you formulate how do you make that into a psal? Right? I mean, what are you going to say? A sukkah which when the sun is at this point in the sky doesn't provide, I mean, how are you going to do that? So therefore, the only way they could do it, according to this side, is to say that a sukkah katana, okay, that's an objective phenomenon, a sukkah katana, which is the minimum shear sukkah, is possible when it's l'mayla ma'asron. Okay? Because that definitely doesn't have tzel. Or that's the worst case, the same type of thing, that's the worst case scenario in terms of tzel. Okay? Now it's true that a sukkah which maybe is 5x5 and whatever, or 7, 8 tvachim by 8 tvachim, and 20 amas may also not provide sale. But you can't have a psul. The way the psul has to set itself up is by identifying a certain type of a sukkah as a sukkah psula. It can't just say, look at if there's sale or not. So the only way it could set itself up halachically is by grabbing onto the unit of a sukkah katana and say a sukkah katana, which is a mile master, is psula. Because that's, again, the same type of thing. It's the worst case scenario in terms of sale. Okay, but what about above that? What above that may also not provide sale, but it can't be puzzle because the soul has to grab onto a category. So the category it grabs onto is sukkah katana. Now, if that's the case, now again, what you hold, depending on what you hold, Hakshar Sukkah is 7x7, 4x4. That's what the psal. So that's the only case the psal is going to apply to. Okay, but the difference, I'd say, between just maybe to clarify the idea, the difference between the first answer and the second answer is, according to the first answer, he's saying that really every sukkah provides tzeil. All sukkahs provide tzeil. But the only way that halachically you express the need for tzeil is by pasling sukkah katana. Even though the sukkah katana does provide tzeil a tiny, tiny bit, but that's we have to express the need for tzeil at pasal sukkah katana. The other way is, the other extreme is saying, no, really there are a lot of the opposite. Really there are a lot of sukkahs which don't provide tzeil. There are many sukkahs that don't provide tzeil. But you can't halachify a demand for tzeil. So the only way you could to make a halachic thing like that is by pasaling sukkah katana, because since that definitely doesn't provide tzeil, or that's the worst tzeil provider, so therefore all we could do is pasal sukkah katana, which is l'mayel masram. I mean, that's the only way we could. So therefore, the other ones are kosher because, not because really they do provide tzeil, but because even though they don't provide tzeil, they couldn't fit into the halachic system of the psul of tzeil. You know, the only way it could be done is by pasaling the worst sukkah. You know what I mean? So now, what's the worst sukkah? It's going to end up being a nafgamina. If you hold 7, you hold by 4 before, that's the only thing that's going to be possible. So it could be misupak, but he's saying they're two same type of answer, but it's going to, both ways, it's going to be tolu in what you hold the minimum sukkah. Suggesting that Rashi's not sure. Rashi's saying go either way. Either way, there's two ways to say, is it that really every sukkah provides tzeil, but they're posseling the one which is the worst tzeil provider, even though that does provide tzeil, but the only way it's manifest that you need tzeil is by posseling the worst, or, and therefore that's going to be dependent upon Hekshe Sukkah, or something similar, but it's saying that really no, a lot of things don't provide tzeil, but the only way to express a psul of not providing tzeil is by knocking out the bottom, by knocking out the minimum sukkah. So therefore, depending on what the old minimum sukkah is, there's going to be that's going to be in machlokas where it applies.
Either way, according to
the punchline is in either pshat that the psul of tzeil, the psul of l'mayel masrim, is only going to be by sukkah katana, and that's going to be dependent upon what you hold sukkah katana is. Sukkah katana 7x7, or is it 4x4? Because the psul is definitely by the worst tzeil provider. Okay. The worst sale provider, 7x7, the minimum sukkah, which is 20 amos high. Okay, then the machlokes is going to be only that. But the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says no. The Gemara, for some reason, doesn't like the Svara. The Gemara says, you don't have to say this. You don't have to say this is what they're arguing about. They're arguing this all machlokes extra sukkah, which is certainly resolved already, that we pass in 7x7. Rather, you could say that they're arguing two different reasons. The first sheet of Huna holds the reasons because it's sale, and sale is 4x4. That's the shear of tzeil, as we discussed before, because of the ball of the sun, the whatever, all those things we did before. And 7x7 is for a different reason. Different reason. Perhaps Tosa says, lo shtana golem, or Rashi apparently isn't committal. Some other reason, 7x7, nothing to do with tzeil. Okay, and then you don't have to say the argument. We're just going to read some pshat a little bit in the Gemara, further in the Gemara, set up some problems. So at this point, the Gemara is up to Mesvei. Okay, Mesvei, about 20 lines from the bottom. Okay, on base on base. So basically, at this point in the Gemara, there's three positions explaining or limiting the machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah about the shear of 20. Okay, three positions. There's a sheet of Rav Yoshia who says it's only talking about a sukkah which is dafnas megilas l'schach. I'm sorry, and dafnas megilas l'schach. It's only talking about a sukkah which is a good asik sukkah. Okay, that's Rav Yoshia. And Rav Huna who says it's only talking about a sukkah which is 4x4. Then you have Rav Chanan who's saying it's only talking about a sukkah which is Zayin al Zayin. Okay? Or actually, Rav Yoshia, Rav Huna, it's from sort of 7x7 until 4x4. Only sukkah which is less than 4x4. And then you have Rav Chanan who's saying, no, it's mamash only 7x7. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to do is, based on another discussion of this machlokas, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, like it's basically you're limiting the machlokas in a very limiting kind of a way. Okay? The Mishnah doesn't say anything about this. So you could say the Mishnah doesn't say it, but that's behind the scenes. That in fact it really is only in a very specific case. But there's a Braisa which has a more wordy dialogue between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, and the question is going to be, does this limitation really stand up to the facts? And it's going to seem like it doesn't. from hearing them talk about it, you could see, you could try to deduce whether in fact they were only talking about this unique kind of a sukkah, let's say only a sukkah which is a 7x7 sukkah, the tiniest sukkah, or were they really talking in a general sense? And from a discussion which Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim had, and trying to prove their positions one way or another, we'll try to deduce or refute these limitations, okay, and make it imply that really they were talking in a more general context. Okay, that's what the Gemara is going to attempt to do in this Meisvei. Meisvei is a question from a Braisa. Okay, Meisvei is always a question from a higher source. A question from the Braisa on these Amoraim who are limiting the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim by showing that they're talking in a sense which doesn't seem to be limited to these very specific cases. And that's basically what the Gemara is going to do now. Okay? So in order to see the question, we have to read through the whole discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But keep in the back of your mind, the reason for the why it's bringing this discussion is because it's going to use it to try to knock out one or two of those limitations. Okay? But in the meantime, we just have to get the discussion. Okay? They're going to have a discussion. Okay, and it's good to see. You know, sometimes the Yedzai Machlok gets Tanayim, sometimes the Braisa expounds upon it. So the Braisa expounds upon it. So Meisvei. Okay, that's what Rashi tells you, by the way. Rashi tells you Meisvei. See, Rashi sets you going. What, you know, Meisvei what? Meisvei is a question on who, on what. So he says, Rashi says, L'hanach amaroi deprisha deplikta masesik in the farish vasa. So it's going to be on those amaroyim who explain the Machlokas and the Mishnah as it's going to explain. As we look further, but it means it's a question on those explanations of the Machalka. Okay? Fine. So it says like this. Here's the discussion. Sukkah Shivamar Mashramama Psula. Rabbiuda Mashir. Adar Boy Mechamish Mama. So Rabbiuda says it's kosher, you all the way up to 40, 50 amos. Okay? There's no psula of 20. Okay? Which, well, right away sounds funny. I mean, what's funny about that?
Why
yeah, it was 40 or 50. I mean, it does he mean? I mean, until now we just thought Rabbi Yehuda didn't have any share. Right. I mean, is he now saying that the share is 40 or is 50?
Yeah.
You know. Also, if you're saying it is, which one is it, 40 or 50?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a funny type of share. Also, so if you look at Tosfos, this Tosfos here, Ad Arba Chamisha Ama, I just looked at it quickly, but it seems like he's saying basically it means there's no limit up to 40 or 50. It means as high as you want. You know, it's because this is a funny question. 40 or 50, the Gemara usually asks, which one is it, 40 or 50? So he's bothered by why it doesn't ask. So he says, because it really doesn't mean 40 or 50. He's using a vague lashon, because if he said 40, you'd think it's exactly 40. He said 50, you'd think it's exactly 50. If it's 40 or 50, he shows you it means very high. But it's practically, how high is a guy going to make a sucker? If it's 40 or 50, it means all even that high. I think that's close to say. What?
Pretty good now.
Yeah, it's a good way to write it, right?
Yeah,
it's a pretty good way to write it. You know? You say if a guy thinks into it, he says, what does it mean, 40 or 50? It can't be one of them, can't be 45, must be, he's just talking figuratively. So you show that you're talking figurative, you show that you're talking like in an exaggerant fashion, or, you know, in a descriptive way, by ruling out the precise, precision. If you're using precision, then you have to be precise. So you're not being precise. So it must be, it's not a precise statement, but it's just a description. So 40-50 means huge, as high as you want. Question. No point. So that being said, so basically it's just another way of stating the machlokas. Okay? The machlokas. So basically the machlokas says, Chum say 20 is the shear, Rabbi Yehuda says it's no shear. Okay, we're going to go with Tosos. Okay? So now Rabbi Yehuda had a question on the Chacham. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, not so fast. Okay, you want to say there's a maximum share of 20? I'll tell you that I have a story which contradicts you. Maisa behilni hamalka belud. There's a story with Hilni Hamalka, the queen, and Lud. Did you find out who she is? A Persian queen. She was a Persian queen who converted. Okay, so there's a story with Hilni, who was a Persian queen who converted. Shehoisa sukasa gavoha me'asra amah. Right, her sukkah happened to be, we have a story, there's a well-known story, I guess, about Hilni Amalka, who had a sukkah, which is above 20 amos, it was a tall sukkah, well, he was a kenim in Chlosim Yotzim Hashem, and there's a kenim used to visited her, v'lo amru l'davar, they never said anything. So how could they not say anything? If she's sitting in a pasul sukkah, then shouldn't they have said something? So it must be that above 20 is an apsol. That's Rabbi Yehuda's argument. Rabbi Yehuda's saying, how could you come say there's a psul of 20? If there was a psul, wouldn't this story not be true? I mean, how could they have let that go? Right? So the Racham took to see the question, but they respond back. They say, Amru lo, Misham Raya, that's a proof. Isha Haisa, Uptir Minasukah. So the obvious point is that woman of Uptir Minasukah. So how could he prove to me from the fact that he didn't stop Hilni Amalka? Hilni Amalka is a woman, she's Uptir from a Sukkah. So if she wants to sit in a high Sukkah, that's our problem, but there's nothing you can't prove from there whether or not it's whether it's kosher or not above 20. So maybe it wasn't kosher. Seems to be a good good proof. I mean, it's a good response. So Amar Lan, so Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not so fast. She had seven sons, and presumably at this point her sons were with her. And if her sons were with her, her sons are male. So therefore, so you have the same proof again, because they didn't stop her from having the sukkah which was too high, even though there were people who were males sitting in the sukkah. So it must be its kosher, right? Ve'od, additionally. Also, she did everything. Okay, so right away the Gemara is going to probably be about. I mean, also, what do you mean also? As a proof, she had her sons. So the Gemara asks, "Lamali, let me say the ode. Kamasel asel picham. What do you have to say that for? I mean, the ode. You don't give another reason unless there's a weakness in your first reason. So the first reason is good. She had sons. Her sons were with her in the sukkah. So obviously, it's not a pasul sukkah because the chacham would have stopped it if there were male sons in the sukkah. So therefore they should have stopped him. So it must be his kasha. So what do you need this other reason that she did everything al pi chacham? Okay? So it says, Hachi kamar little. This is what it's saying. Ki som rubanim katanim hayu v'ktanim p'tur minasukah. So he says, I know what you're going to respond back. He'll say, yeah, her sons, seven sons. Fine, so they were all less than bar mitzvah. So they were all p'tur minasukah. So that's why they never stopped them. How do you know that her sons were gedolim? Were actually chayiv? So it says, no. Kivan the shiva havu, since there are seven, yef shadolo havi b'uchad, she'inu tzorech lima. And the sheer fachinach of a sukkah is when he doesn't need his mother anymore. He doesn't sleep with his mother, whatever the case may be. So obviously that there are seven, there's one who's a gilachinach, seven sons. So one who's a gilachinach. And still, even though there's one who's a gilachinach, still the chacham didn't stop it. So why didn't the chacham stop her from doing it? Right? Why didn't the chacham stop her? So I know what you'll tell me. So you'll say, yeah, because she doesn't care about what the Chum says. She doesn't care about the Rabbanans. She's not into that kind of thing. She's not into the Rabbanans. So that's why the Chum didn't stop her, because they knew that she's not going to listen. She doesn't keep the Rabbanans. She only keeps the Raisa. So maybe that's why they didn't stop her. Right? And then Moshe asks, he says, yeah, but why don't you say, but the Rabbanan should have stopped her still. But maybe you'll say, she's a queen, so they can't force her to do it. So if they knew that she's not going to listen to the Rabbanans, that she only keeps the Raisas, so then they're not going to stop her. There's no point. They're going to stop her because she's Kshera. But it says, but that can't be. Tashma, it's not true. You see, that's why I had to bring the second reason. That you see, she was completely halachic. She followed halacha 100%, even chacham, even the rabbanans. And therefore, if in fact the sukkah were apostle and she had a son who's a gil chinuch, which is chayv and mid rabbanan to make sure he's sitting in a good sukkah, the chacham would have stopped her. They would have told her because they know that she did everything up to halacha. So the fact they didn't stop her shows you above 20 is kosher. That's Rabbi's argument. Period. That's the end of the end of the brisa. Okay, so that's the end of the brisa. End of the brisa is Rabbi Yehuda is trying to bring a proof that since she had these seven sons, one of which was a gil chinuch, and the rabbanan never stopped this whole situation, it must be that they proved. Okay, that's the brisa. So now what's the Gemara going to do with this? The Gemara is going to come in. Okay, so now the point is that you see clearly one thing that Hilni Hamalka's sukkah was obviously a sukkah. On which the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are going to argue, right? That the argument applies, not even though it's maybe limited, it has to apply to Hilni Hamalka sukkah. Now the question is, what kind of sukkah did Hilni Hamalka have? Right? Did she have one of these very limited kind of sukkahs? So it says, "Bishlam man da machine dafin sugiyos tischach machlokas dagash tamakal deishir besukkah shein dafin sugiyos tischach mishemavira." So if you say the machlokas is only by this airy sukkah, the sukkah which is the garasik sukkah where the walls don't reach the schach. So you'll say, yeah, she had that kind of sukkah because that's actually a very spacious kind of a sukkah that you just have. It's like a sunroom that the walls just go up a little bit and then you have garasik. So that it makes sense that she did. Maybe she did have that kind of sukkah. So she could have had that kind of sukkah. It's a derech of a market in that kind of sukkah. It's not a lacking kavod. And therefore, they're arguing about her sukkah that they must have known that that was the kind of sukkah she had. So there's no problem according to that that shita, right? There's no problem. But if you want to say that the machlokas is only by a tiny sukkah, a sukkah which is 4x4, 7x7, you're going to tell me only a malko is sitting in a, she's a malka, so you know she's sitting in a tiny sukkah, 7x7, 4x4, how could that be? How could that be? So it must be she was sitting in a bigger sukkah, and still the whole machlokas applies. So isn't that a refutation of the shitas who say 7x7, 4x4? It's a refutation, because all the machlokas applies by those sukkahs. Right? Rashi. I'm just going to read that one. The first line in Aleph, Aval Gdola Fil Rabbanan Modu, but everyone agrees by Gdola, this is her whole party. So this, if it was only her in a sukkah, you could say, yeah, with herself, she could just sit in a sukkah 4x4, 7x7. That's feasible. But she has servants. She has a whole crew. So you can tell me that her and her crew are sitting in a sukkah which is 4x4, which is 7x7? That can't be. That's not Darkish Malka. Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Barvada, lo nitzcha el la sukkah asuya kitonios kitonios. Right, which means the sukkah had a bunch of chambers. It was a sukkah which was totally, had a lot of tiny rooms. Right, a lot of tiny rooms. A sukkah which has a lot of tiny rooms. Okay. Right, Ketanos, I think they didn't look it up. I think it means like chambers. Small rooms. So there was a sukkah, which is partitioned into a lot of small rooms. So therefore, each room is less than 7x7 or 4x4. And that's what it's talking about. So true, she had all her servants with her, but they were all spread out in these tiny rooms. Okay. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Chidark Shemak Leshi B'sukkah Suya Ketanos Ketanos. Apparently that's not Kavah. That's a sukkah, which is like a... I don't know why, but I guess it's like that kind of sukkah is not Derech Kavod. To have a sukkah with a bunch of tiny little rooms is a sukkah, which is saying is not in line with the Kvodah Malka. Okay? I don't know why, it's hard to know, but that's just saying factually. So therefore, you're stuck in your problem again, because she couldn't have had a sukkah like that, so therefore she must have had a bigger sukkah. She had a bigger sukkah, so now you see the machlokas is even by a bigger sukkah. So the Maravashi, Lenitzur, Ali Ketonios, Shabbat. Rashi. Sukkah gedola lebnei misibah. So v'ketonios katana besochol etznias. V'hi v'ketonios yasva. V'afal yodav psul loch v'son dishab tomeh sukkah. So it's saying that really it was a huge sukkah. It's a big sukkah. She had all her servants in this very big sukkah. But she had a private room. Okay? She had her own little private room, and that's on the side, which was only 7x7, or it was 4x4. And that's what we're talking about. She had her own little sukkah. Okay, that was for tznias, so that's good for her. It's big enough for her. It's just, and everyone else had a big sukkah. But this particular sukkah, the Rabbanan didn't stop her in her little room. So the Rabbanan should have stopped her. Right? Mm-hmm. So now you have to explain the machloka. So if you're talking about that little room, which was for her private room, so now it's not so simple, because now you're telling me her kids were there, but this is her little private room. So Rabbanan savri b'nei ha-v'sukkah me'alya ha-v'yasve, v'yasu b'kitonius, v'shem sinusa, v'shem ha-chilam ha-davar. So the Rabbanan, so what's the Rabbanan's counter-argument going to be? They'll say, her sons? You see, the case is going to have to be talking about this little tiny room which she has for privacy. So her sons aren't in that private room. Her sons must have been in the big sukkah. So that's why they didn't stop her, because chinuch, they're in the big sukkah. Above 20 in the big sukkah is no problem. And in her little sukkah is no problem, because she's a woman. Right? In fact, that resolves how the Rabbanan are going to answer back about her kids. Because they'll say her kids are in the other part of the sukkah, which is true above 20. But we don't care above 20 if it's in a big sukkah. Yeah. So then what's Rabbi Yehuda's question? Right? So what's Rabbi Yehuda's question? If our kids are in this bigger sukkah, then there's no question anymore. So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Bnei Agaba Aviyasi, Afilu Achilam Ladavar." No, he holds, he argues. He says it's not true. Our sons really slept in her sukkah. Even though it was her little sukkah, 7x7, her sons must have slept there with her. Okay? And therefore, if they slept there with her, and the Rabbanah never stopped her, it must be they held it's a good sukkah. Okay?
What's Machlokas?
That's the problem. Machlokas is, did our son sleep in our sukkah or not? That's the argument. Did Hilni Hamalka's sons sleep in this? She had a big sukkah, a huge sukkah, with all her servants slept in this huge sukkah. She had one little room for herself, which is sukkah katana, 4x4, 7x7. And now the only question is were her sons outside in the big part of the sukkah? In which case, there's no proof, because they were in a good sukkah. No, there's no issue of chinuch, because they're in a good sukkah. Or there were sons in her sukkah, which is only a sukkah katana. And then the fact that they never stopped her, because the chinuch shows that above 20 is kosher. So the whole mafokas, you know, whether you could prove the thing, boils down to a factual question. This is what they're arguing about. Did Hilni Hamalka's sons sleep in the same room as her, or did they sleep somewhere else? And each side is arguing that definitely I'm correct. That this is I know where her son's lot.
They're saying it's
well, this is their argument. Right? I mean, Rabuta's
going to say they're both saying that there's logical possibilities, so it's
well, Rabuta's trying to give an argument, right? Rabuta's giving an argument to reject the Chacham. So obviously, in order to give an argument, I mean, the Rabbanim are defending themselves. They're saying it's possible that fine, they're not sure. But Rabbi is giving an argument.
I thought this is the Gemara outside of the Brisa.
Yeah, but the Gemara is explaining the Brisa, right. Saying this is how the Gemara is explaining the Brisa. It's explaining the machloh, the whether or not it's a proof. Rabbi held that he had a proof from Hilni Amalka. Now, it's only a proof, the Gemara is setting it up, if in fact her son slept with her in that room. And the Chachamim's response back is, no, her son didn't sleep with her in that room. So, I mean, that's a funny kind of a machlokas. I mean, maybe, okay, think about it. But that's right, I mean, that's a prop. That's what we have to, that's one thing we have to explain. Okay? There are other things we have to explain in Rashi. Okay, so Rashi starts bringing in a little bit more complicated things in Tosfos. But I think for now, let's stop on that point. So I'd say work on that machlokas. Okay, work on that machlokas. Go over the pshat again. And then you need the pshat again, because Rashi... Here, Rabbi Yehuda Savar. It's a little bit. But you gotta get Pshat on that. Pshat on that's gonna bring in a little complicated thing with Lo Netzrichol also. The Tosis Lo Netzrichol. And that's, I guess, where we're at it now. Okay? So probably what's gonna be happening tomorrow is we're gonna do this thing about Ilni Malka. Okay? We're gonna discuss.